Hey everybody, welcome to Bite Me Podcast, where Colby is going to be singing Elton John songs in the background the entirety of this episode.
You betcha.
Normally, I start recording and then we bullshit for a second, and today I just hit the record button and went straight into it. Colby looked scared, I'll be honest.
I was reading.
He was reading. What flavor drink you drink? Is that apple?
Strawberries and cream.
Oh, if you've never had them before, the Target like carbonated water drinks, I don't even know what they're called. They're delicious. I like had to stop buying them because I had too many a week like Target water habit. So I like the apple one a lot. I think there's like a peaches and cream one maybe.
Yeah, I get these from Winco. They cost like 38 cents.
Oh man, that's such a deal. Like the Target ones are like a buck.
I don't know.
Crazy. I don't have a Winco though, so
what you could drive to Texas.
It's a little far. I was trying to decide today if I wanted to drive to Mimi's, like Mimi's Cafe.
No.
I really like their quiche and giant muffins though.
Their muffins are pretty good.
But it's like an hour and a half from here. That seemed like a lot. I could probably make a quiche and make a muffin too. Anyway, we're gonna talk about video games today. Probably no Dylan today. He is planning and working and machinating and doing all sorts of things that don't involve this podcast, but you know, the guy's gotta work, so what do you do? Time zones are bonkers, yo. Like it's almost 7 my time. Dylan's I think still at work because it's only like 3:45 his time, so can't blame a dude for not being here. Colby, on the other hand, it's 4:45 and he's at home. So maybe Colby's unemployed. I don't know.
Have been for like 4 hours.
Unemployed?
No.
Home. Anyway, Colby starts work at 2:30 in the morning because he hates himself. We're going to start with what we've been playing. For me, it is no surprise, but that's fine. That's okay. We're going to talk a little bit about Extra Life because there's some cool Extra Life type news. Then we're going to talk about news, including LGBTQ inclusion in video games. This is actually a really, really interesting study that I was reading about. We're going to talk about the Dead Cells team and how they all hate each other, which is a bummer. We're going to like touch on some Xbox stuff, but like the real, like, what do they call it? The dirt, the real dirt, I guess, isn't going to come out until Thursday. So, and it's not dirt. Like that seems like it's a bad thing. The real story.
I'm just going to speculate wildly.
Yeah. Colby's going to make up some stuff. I mean, I'll be honest. That kind of seems to be what the internet has been doing anyway. So, you know, do you have anything to just like throw out right now?
Microsoft is going to become a clothing store.
I'd buy some of that. Physical games are not as expensive as I thought. And Subnautica 2 is getting some cool features. Colby's a big Subnautica fan. He might like
this. I am.
Then we got a couple questions from Monotone Screaming and Rich. We got some cheap free games. And then we're going to stop and do other things. So let's start off with what have you been playing, Cole? Man, we should play some new games because this is getting
I've only been playing like Persona 3 for 1 week, Cliff.
I think it's your third week of Persona 3.
Well, I mean, I think we skipped a week, didn't we?
Yeah, so third week of Persona 3. But I mean, I've been playing Baldur's Gate for like
you
since
need to
Christmas.
Finish Baldur's Gate up.
I need to do something. Anyway, you've been playing some. You're playing Elden Ring still?
Yes, I'm playing Elden Ring still. I'm hoping, but by the time, like, I don't know, pretty soon the DLC will drop, so I'll have something new to play. Because my kid insists that I play.
Like, I forgot that she likes you to play Baldur's Gate. That's really weird.
Elden Ring, not Baldur's Gate.
Right. Saying she should play Elden Ring or Baldur's Gate. I don't even know what I'm talking about. She likes Baldur's Gate, but no. She likes Elden Ring.
There we go.
You should make her force her to watch you play Baldur's Gate instead. It's not probably quite the same. Very turn-based. She may not have the attention span for that.
Nope.
Anyway.
But yeah, I've been playing Elden Ring. Still good. And I have also been playing more Persona. It still is also good. I'm like probably 3/4 of the way through it, I think.
Really? Jeez.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
Colby, we were playing games together on Saturday, and he like asked me which of these like high school girls you should go out on a date with, and I'm like, this is creepy, Colby, and I don't
want to be part of this. I ended up with girl whose name I don't remember.
They were all names I don't remember, so.
Yeah.
So did you never date her again? Did you leave her heartbroken, Colby?
No. I just don't remember her name.
I don't think she's going to like that.
Well, I mean, like, I know it in the game.
I think it was just a like one name, like Cher, except Japanese, as I recall.
No, it was...
Don't try and pronounce it, Cole. It's just going to get racist.
I honestly don't remember. It's the track star girl. I don't remember her name, though.
She's fast, too.
She manages it, though.
So she's a nerd.
Yeah, she's the track school manager. So,
like, is she a teacher or is she a student?
No, she's a student.
So she's just there to like pick up sweaty towels and.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, and talk to me.
Interesting. So. I mean, you do what you do. What is your thing at school? Like, are you in a club or anything? Like, do you?
Oh, I'm in track.
Oh, so she picks up your sweaty towels.
I'm in track. I'm in. What other clubs am I? I'm part of the school, like. I don't know, school board? Not school board, that's wrong.
Like, what's the PTA?
No, like, what's the...
Like, student government.
Like, yeah, student government. I think I'm in the home ec club. I'm not 100% sure, but I go there and help out the gay French dude do his thing, so...
Man, that is supportive of you. Yeah. What do you run in track? Like, what's your...
I don't know. It's usually just a cutscene, so...
That's disappointing.
It doesn't tell me, like...
I was hoping there was, like, a mini game, like... Either, like, I'm willing to accept, like, Commodore 64 track and field, or Quap.
I've broken two controllers.
Yeah, exactly. Man, if you don't know what Colby's talking about, like... First of all, you're very young, and I appreciate that. Thank you for listening to old people talk about video games. But, man, if you know, you know. That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
Anything else? My boss is 20. That makes me feel pretty old.
Your boss is 20?
Yep.
Dang. At least my boss is, like, 3 months older than me. Is it, like, a nepotism thing?
Nope.
Just off the street, 20?
Yep.
Huh. So what you're saying is they didn't require a lot of experience or a college degree?
Nope.
Huh. All right. Good for them. Good for them. Anyway, Colby gets to work at 2:30 and gets bossed around by a 20-year-old.
I get to work at 4.
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
I wake up at 3:30.
How do you wake up at 3:30 and get to work by 4 when your work is at least 25 minutes away from where you...
It's 20 minutes away.
Jesus. You just do like sleep fully clothed, just roll out of bed and put on shoes and go to work?
Nope. The 5 minutes it takes for me to do everything and get out the door is all I need.
It's very impressive, Cole. Anyway, this is a weird podcast. I apologize. Baldur's Gate 3. I didn't play it at all.
Has anything changed?
No, because I barely played it. I went to a genealogy conference on Saturday instead of playing Baldur's Gate. So I did not have a lot of time to play this weekend. Anyway, yeah, it's still fine. I'm in kind of the end part of Act 2. I just need to, like, figure that out. So I killed a giant, like, ogre lady. That was pretty cool. Yeah, everyone has, right? Let's talk about Patreon real fast. These are the fabulous people who support our podcast every month.
Thick and thin.
Quite frankly, yes. You can become one of these delightful folk by going to patreon.com/bitemepodcast. And if you join in at our $10 a month donation level, we say your name. So big shout out to Alan Schulte, Cole, Joe Cole Jr. Joe will probably forgive me for, like, butchering his name 4 times in a row. Joe Cole Jr., Anonymous, and Rich Deacon. Thank you all for helping us pay the bills around here. Again, you can go to patreon.com/bitemepodcast. Extra Life is a thing. We are our team already has four members, and we've raised $500 for 2024, which is pretty $520. I think it's like $500 and change, which is great for 2024. But the interesting part about that is Humble. Like I got my things crossed. I don't have any idea how much Extra Life has raised total, but Humble Bundle, of which we are also a partner with, has raised $250 million for charity. I kind of flubbed that call. Will you forgive me?
Sorry, I'm watching them remove worms from the intestine.
Ew.
And it's horrifying.
That explains the look on Colby's face.
They just keep coming. It's like spaghetti.
I thought he was horrified at my your mixing flub. Up of Extra Life and Humble Bundle. And
no,
instead,
it's like spaghetti.
Huh, that's gross. Anyway, Extra Life has raised millions of dollars, but I don't know how many exactly. If you're wondering, we've raised $34,572 for Extra Life, which is pretty dang good.
But it's Humble a nice Bundle mid-sized car.
Yeah, exactly, right? Humble Bundle has raised over $250 million for charity since
that's
they
like
kind of...
two McLarens.
I think it's like one and a half McLarens.
McLarens aren't $100 million.
Oh, right. No. Yeah, they're like, what, a couple million apiece?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I was thinking, math is hard, I'm tired, it's already been a long week, it's freaking Tuesday. Anyway, $250 million is a lot, so if you've bought a Humble Bundle, or bought games from their store, or, I don't know, probably just visited IGN, who owns them now, you have, you've contributed to that. So I think of that $250 million, probably, I don't know, a million and a half of it is from me. I had kind of a Humble Bundle problem for a while, so but I'm better now. I can stop at any time. Anyway, big shout out to Humble for $250 million. So a bunch of different charities too. Like every single thing they do goes somewhere else. So that's pretty awesome. You know, if you don't just shop at Humble, like they have good sales too. Like it's not just bundles. Like you can just go buy stuff off their store and it still gets donated to charity, and they just give you a Steam key. So you know, if you want to give back a little bit while you know, also getting your games on, that is a good way to do it. Colby, where are we going next?
News?
Dylan is better at that, Colby. I'm sorry. But he's probably not watching worms and intestines, so...
Probably not.
He probably has a leg up on you. Maybe he is. Maybe that's why he's not here. He was so busy just watching worms and intestines at work that,
I assume as much.
Are these people?
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, this is a really cool article. It's actually from IGN. If you want to go read it, I would actually recommend it. It's called, the title is GLAAD Releases Its First Ever Report on LGBTQ Inclusion in Video Games. This is based on a poll of just under 1,500 active PC and console gamers in the United States in summer of 2023, with a boosted sample of LGBTQ gamers to help answer specific questions about the LGBTQ community.
Are you
and
drunk?
Gaming. What?
Are you drunk?
I don't know, man. It's just a thing. This is interesting, though. Apparently, of active gamers, so like if you take 100 gamers, you know, just randomly grab 100 people that play video games off the street, 17% of them are going to be, you know, on the LGBTQ plus spectrum somewhere. That's up 10% from a study from just 2020. So, you know, that segment of America really makes up a large percentage of gamers. Overall, they report being just as dedicated to games as non-LGBTQ gamers. They spend similar amounts of money and tend to play the same genres on roughly the same platforms, with a slight preference for Nintendo games. And they think that that's mostly just because they tend to skew a little younger as well. And Nintendo games are sometimes a little bit, not cheaper necessarily, but just more accessible to younger gamers. Interestingly enough, though, I thought this was a really interesting statistic. Nintendo actually has the lowest percentage of games with LGBTQ characters or storylines. So Nintendo only has 50 out of all their games.
My headcanon is Mario's very gay. What about Luigi? He's like a constant bachelor.
Yeah, I could. What about Apricot? I don't know what her name is.
Peach?
Well, no. Peach is like Daisy? Sister? Daisy? Isn't she like the Ouija's?
No, I don't think so.
Beard? I don't know. Anyway, PlayStation has 90 games that feature LGBTQ characters. Microsoft comes in way, way out front with 146. So, like, not quite double what PlayStation has, but almost three times as many as Nintendo has. Steam, like, obviously is kind of a different beast. They have 2,300. Interestingly enough, that number drops to 1,500 when adult-only sexual content tags were filtered out. So, you know, take that as you will. That does, though, even at 146 games available on the Xbox, that is like less than 2% of total games in their respective libraries. The reason that they say that, you know, they're kind of the intimation is that that's not. It's kind of a bummer because they found that 72% of LGBTQ gamers say that seeing characters with their gender identity and or sexual orientation makes them feel better about themselves. That jumped to 78%. So not huge, but 6% more for gamers between 13 and 16. And they also were 11% more likely than non-gamers to use gaming to escape from difficult situations in the real world, and 24% more likely to depend on gaming to get through tough times. And then they also, 66% of them say that gaming allows themselves to express themselves in ways they don't feel comfortable doing in the real world. So really the overall arch of this study is that there are a lot of LGBTQ gamers and that it's really important to them. Like gaming is something that makes their lives better. On the other side of that, 60% of non-LGBTQ gamers saying that having a LGBTQ main character makes no difference to them when deciding to buy or play a game. And 10% of that group said it actually makes them more likely to play that game in that scenario. But the interesting thing is because you hear this all the time, all these just capital G gamers saying, you know, I can't believe they're stuffing these, you know, these things into my game that I don't like.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Right. The people that say it's the biggest negative for them are the people who buy the least video games. So the people that are loudest about not wanting LGBTQ characters in their games are the people that spend the least money on video games. So kind of the conclusion is adding more representation in video games is probably good. It's good for... you know, the people that resonates with, but also it's probably not going to affect your sales in any sort of negative way. So there's really no reason to not, you know. So really interesting report. Like I said, it's on IGN. I didn't even go over everything, but the title is Glad releases its first ever report on LGBTQ inclusion in video games. It's really interesting, kind of some of the conclusions they come to. And, you know, overall, it sounds like adding more LGBTQ characters to video games is like a net win for everybody. Like it, you know, no one really loses from that, regardless of what you know, people on, I don't know, probably Reddit and 4chan tell you. So
while you've been blathering on,
yes,
I've been doing on and on the hard work here and talking to what's Microsoft Bing's AI co-pilot, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It just got renamed, I think. So yeah.
And the real dirt is that it doesn't know whether or not Luigi's gay.
Oh man, that's a bummer.
And when I asked if Luigi blanks, it told me that was inappropriate. So
you know he does, Colby. Don't try and pretend that you know he doesn't. I'll ask ChatGPT and
Luigi
see what...
get it. Wait, if I can get it in air quotes. Let's see.
And
not me just tell me about Luigi, but does he get it? The secret's untold, the mystery's hidden, the tales yet unfold. So, oh yeah, he does. He gets it.
Apparently, Luigi's orientation has not been officially confirmed or addressed in any Nintendo game or official materials. So, any claims regarding Luigi's sexual orientation are speculative and not considered canon. So,
it told me my headcanon could be whatever I wanted, and so I've taken
that's
that to
nice.
Heart.
So in according to Colby, the world according to Colby,
I think that Luigi and Mario are gay together, and that their whole being brothers thing is just a backstory, or is just like a, you know, a convenient story that they tell everyone. Like, oh yeah, no, we're no brothers.
No one knows where they were before, you know, the first game. So yeah, it could just be all a big story. Next up, original Dead Cells designer is one of the guys that was originally part of that co-op is really mad. For reasons that I understand, but also I think are a little weird. Okay, so Dead Cells, if you haven't played it, like, first of all, you should. It's real good. It's a roguelike kind of platformer, really great movement, just feels good, plays great, real fun. Came out 5 years ago and has kind of an interesting, like, corporate setup, as much as those things can be interesting. So the game was developed and created by a company called Motor Twin, and they were interesting at the time because they were pretty much, as far as I know, the only video game co-op in existence. And so it was like 12 developers. Everyone had an equal stake in the game. Everyone had an equal voice in development. So on and so forth. After Dead Cells came out, there was a second company called Evil Empire, which was set up by former Motion Twin staff to work on updates for Dead Cells. So Motion Twin went off to do, you know, new things, which ended up being a new video game coming out called Windblown. And this other group, Evil Empire, has been handling updates. And according to developers, they had updates planned for Dead Cells through 2025. And all of a sudden, Motion Twin just came out and said, hey, update 35, that's it, we're done. No more updates. And on one hand, like, I understand, like, that sucks for people at Evil Empire who, you know, now are, they're pivoting to working on new things. But, you know, who's to say how well that'll work? And probably felt that, you know, a company that had started out with, you know, kind of a pro worker, pro equality take on things wouldn't just kind of throw you under the bus. That does not appear to be the case. And speculation by some of the original Dead Cell developers and designers, specifically Sebastian Bernard, is his theory is that they don't want updates from Dead Cells, like, kind of taking buzz away from their new game, Windblown, which I've seen some videos of Windblown, and they are completely, I don't, maybe not completely different games, but they are different games. They probably play in the same space, but there's probably room for this new game and Dead Cells. So I don't know if that's really true. My guess is that it probably actually has to do with, like, saving money. It's hard to, like, continue to support a game for 5 years and, you know, make that up when you have a full development staff. So I don't know, kind of an interesting thing either way. If you have not played Dead Cells, I highly recommend it. And if you haven't seen the trailer for Windblown, it was revealed at the Game Awards in December. It's definitely worth looking into. Colby beat Dead Cells in like 3 hours.
I did.
Shocking. I've put like 20 hours into Dead Cells and I haven't made it past the third boss. So like I said in the preview, Colby, do you want to make up another fact about Microsoft right now? Or Xbox either?
Microsoft has been hiding the fact that Luigi is very, very gay with Mario.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
That's what it's going to come out.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're just going to come out and say it. Like, sorry we've been keeping this from you for so long.
And we don't know why it was us and not Nintendo, but we're the keepers of the knowledge. So Thursday, today for Colby and I is Tuesday, but when you hear this podcast, there's
Thursday.
Gosh, I do too. There's a pretty good chance. I got a 3-day weekend this weekend. I'm very excited about it.
Me too.
Hey, nice. You think. The good news is is that that means you don't have to wait as long to listen to the podcast. It probably came out about the same time this one did. So listen to this one first because it's better. And then when you're done listening to this one, you can go listen to the official Microsoft podcast in which Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, and Matt Booty. I love the fact that there's a guy named Matt Booty. I believe he is the president of, no, that's Mikey Barra, I think, who is the president of Activision Blizzard. But Matt Booty works for Microsoft anyway. They're going to share updates on the Xbox business. And what's that been rumored is that Microsoft is going to not have exclusives or not have as many exclusives as they previously did, that games like Sea of Thieves are going to be coming to presumably Nintendo and PlayStation this year, that Indiana Jones may or may not be coming to PlayStation, Starfield may or may not be coming to PlayStation as well. And like, people are just up in arms. We talked about this a little last week too. People are just so mad, and I'm like, dude, calm down. Like, why do you care if someone on the PlayStation is playing Sea of Thieves? It's just like, it just gives you someone more to play with, right? Like, I just don't get it. But I don't know. We'll see. Microsoft says they are still dedicated to consoles, that, you know, they see, you know, new consoles for their future. There's a new version of the Xbox coming out probably this year. Kind of a mid-generation refresh. It looked kind of like the original Amazon Echo, if you've seen one of those. So I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, like I said, Hi-Fi Rush is actually apparently also potentially going to be coming to the PlayStation as well. So I don't know. We'll see. Also Luigi's Gay. Any other Microsoft conspiracies before we go on to something else, Cole?
They're responsible for all of the world's baby carrots.
Huh. Makes sense. Have you ever seen how they make baby carrots?
I have.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
And Microsoft's in charge of that.
Yeah, so if you've never seen how to make baby carrots, go watch a video. It's really weird. But, you know, whatever. This is an interesting interview with Take-Two. They were talking, someone asked them about the future of physical games media. The new Xbox that is rumored to be coming out this summer probably, will not have a DVD drive in it at all. It's just round, so there's nowhere to put one. Obviously PlayStation is selling, you know, the digital that does not have one, although they've got a weird bulky add-on for it. The Xbox Series S does not have a disc drive. And, apparently, last quarter, 95% of games that Take-Two sold were digital. So someone was asking, like, you know, where do you see that, you know, physical games going away? What's your take on it? And I thought the take was really, really interesting. And they, you know, originally when asked, the president said, you know, if you asked me 10 years ago, I was, you know, I thought, you know, that they will, you know, the physical market will go on for a long time. It, you know, it works that way for the music business, so on and so forth. But when pressed, if he, you know, he said, you know, when will they or won't they support him? He said something that I thought was really interesting. The quote is, "It's not costly to master something for physical distribution. As long as you don't produce too much inventory, it's not costly. So this isn't a big decision for us. It was a big decision 30 years ago in the business when we had to produce cartridges and you couldn't do anything with them. But today we can order a disc and 5 days later it can be on the shelves," which I'm sure is hyperbole. But if you are someone who gets really into physical games, and I mean, we've had this discussion before, like, I could care less. I think Colby kind of doesn't care either way. I'm certainly not a collector of physical games. I don't remember the last time I bought one, really. But if you are, that kind of bodes well for you in that, you know, maybe there will still be discs around, you know, at least as long as there's still a system to put them into. You know, if you're an Xbox gamer and the next Xbox doesn't have a disc drive, you're probably out of luck. But you know, maybe they aren't as, you know, maybe they're not as likely to go away completely because cost isn't a factor. That's not the limiting factor. It's, you know, whether there's something to stick them in or not. So, Colby, I'm sorry, you'll have to just keep collecting all your just shelves full of physical things.
I can't wait to get all my games on vinyl.
Can we talk about vinyl for a sec, Cole?
I know, we have to.
I know this isn't a records podcast, but I keep getting this advertisement for a record player on Facebook. And so correct me if I'm wrong. The reason you listen to records is because they're analog and therefore warmer and specialer, and they sound so much richer than a digital CD, correct?
Sometimes,
in theory,
yes.
Like it's probably actually like a weird mix of like nostalgia and not being old enough to remember how sucky records are.
I learned a lot of audiophiles actually go to CDs.
Yeah, I don't, whatever.
Not records.
But regardless, I keep seeing this record player, and one of the selling points is that it has Bluetooth, so you can play your record player through like your Bluetooth speaker or whatever. And I'm like, so you're taking this warm, amazing, beautiful sound and you're punching it through like the worst compression algorithm in the world to play it through your Bluetooth speaker that probably sucks. And like every time I see it, I die a little bit inside. That's what I want to say. So anyway, that's my thoughts on vinyl. Whatever. Subnautica 2. Colby played Subnautica, and he played Subnautica's like expansion. It wasn't really like a DLC. It was kind of like a... Was it a DLC?
No, I just played Subnautica and Subnautica 2. I don't think either of them had DLCs.
So the game you played was not Subnautica 2.
Yeah.
It was called how do you spell Subnautica? It was like the Deep Seas something, right?
No. I played Subnautica 1 and 2.
All right, I'm on Wikipedia right now, Colby. I don't know why I went to Wikipedia. Subnautica Below Zero.
Yeah, that's 2.
It is not. Subnautica 2 is in development. So
it was called Subnautica 2 when it...
It is called Subnautica Below Zero.
Uh-huh. It was referred to as Subnautica 2 when it was being developed. So
it was. Subnautica 2 is actually another game coming out. And there's a little bit of brouhaha this week when they're like, yeah, it's a live service game. And everyone went, what? Why would you do that? It is not a live service game. It is just a game that is going to be updated consistently, like many games are, such as Dead Cells we were just talking about. But unlike the first two Subnauticas, it is going to have optional four-player co-op, which I think would be a lot of fun. That game was... You don't get to play those kind of, like, survival collecting games, at least in the water, multiplayer very often. I think it'll open it up kind of like Valheim and a lot of those games. So definitely could be a lot of fun. So anyways, what I'm asking, Colby, the day before Thanksgiving is, will you play Subnautica 2 with me?
Sure.
Oh, thanks, man. All right, let's answer some questions.
Woo!
You do anything fun for Valentine's Day?
No. Was that one of the questions?
It's the way to do it. It was not. I was just curious. Monotone Screaming says, I don't have anything video game related, but what is your ideal bagel sandwich combination? So if someone gives you a bagel, I think the first thing you need to do, Cole, is choose the bagel you are getting and then tell me what you are putting on it.
I like breakfast bagels.
God, I love breakfast bagels. I eat one for lunch almost every day. What do you put on it?
Well, I don't really make them all that often.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't have bagels, but like there's some awesome ones at the bagel place near me.
So shout out your bagel store and then tell me what you put on it.
Einstein Bagels. And
do you know how many people just judged you so hard? But please continue.
Do you know how little I give a shit?
So what do you get on your Einstein Bagel?
So this has, what is it? Bacon, ham, cheddar cheese, country pepper, cream cheese schmear is the farmhouse one. I sometimes get that. I think I've had the Texas brisket egg sandwich.
Damn.
Which is smoked beef brisket, cheddar cheese, and smoky chipotle aioli. on a baked cheddar jalapeno gourmet bagel.
Sounds good.
I'm also just a fan of like sausage, egg, and cheese.
Yeah, yeah. No, I almost every day for lunch I actually eat an everything bagel with.
I don't like everything bagels.
I didn't think I did. And then my friend Rich, who handles our website, so Rich is from New Jersey, which if you are a bagel eater means something. And it means something important to other people from New Jersey. So apparently there is something magic in the water in New Jersey and New York.
That it's called pollution.
Probably.
Quite frankly, I think it's called 9/11 ashes.
I think it's actually some sort of, there's like some sort of minerals in the water. And so if you don't know how to make bagels, you take the dough and then you boil them and then you bake them. And the boiling process in their water, makes them different, and they are like, I've had them. There's a place down here that like has a ginormous, like it looks like you're walking into a brewery because they have this like waterification machine that apparently replicates it. And the bagels are very different. The consistency is very different. I don't know if I would say they're better or worse, but you know, they're fine.
Sometimes I buy Thomas bagels from the grocery store.
I think those are the ones I buy. I think I get Thomas bagels. I buy them from Costco. But anyway, he brought me some of those bagels because he'd been telling me about real bagels and what I've been missing by eating lousy bagels for my entire life. And they were good. And a couple of them were everything bagels. And I'm like, man, I don't know what to do with everything bagel. I bet you I could put eggs on them. And then I just kept doing it. So moral of the story is I'm going to probably die of some sort of cholesterol-related disease very shortly. But I lived a good life and had great bagels on the way. So bagel, egg, cheese.
If you ever want to have fun, just search for Einstein Bagels Holocaust.
Ooh, that's bad.
You learn something new every day.
Super bad. Super, super, super bad.
You could also search for Nazi. You don't need to search for Holocaust.
I think you can do the same thing with Aldi's, in case you were wondering.
So that means that you can do it for... I cannot think of the...
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's, yeah. I'm like, Farmer John's? I'm like, that's not right.
I believe that is correct.
Though, if I recall, it's not the same Aldi's that owns Trader Joe's. There's like, because it's two brothers.
It's two brothers.
Yeah. They broke off, and so there's something really weird there.
Probably all Nazis, though. Same with, what, Excedrin?
Bayer.
Advil? Bayer, yeah. Anyway, Panera has a good bagel. It's like egg and cheese and spinach. I like spinach a lot too. So tell me more about Nazis, Cole.
They also have control. The Einstein Brothers Bagel Company also has controlling stakes in Krispy Kreme, Panera, and Pete's Coffee.
Huh. Interesting. Who knew?
Dedicated National Socialists, you say?
Happens. Next question from Rich, actually. VR gaming feels like it is flat.
This is the most amazing. One user quipped, making shitty bagels may be the most passive-aggressive form of anti-Semitism yet.
Oy. Rich says, VR gaming feels like it's flat and has lost momentum. Although, correct him if he's wrong. Do you feel it's going to claim a large stake of gaming in the future? No, I think it will always probably occupy a space in gaming. As long as like Meta keeps making quests, there are going to be people who are into gaming. I think that.
So, go ahead. Do you want to hear my hot take?
Yes.
The only thing that may change that is Apple's stupid new VR headset.
You think it will help games or hurt games?
Help.
Just because
it's Apple? I think, yes. Like, if there's one, like, current company you might not want to bet on against, it's Apple. Like,
yeah.
They could be playing the long game where, like, yeah, now it's $3,400, but, you know, 5 years from now, it's not. And Apple has a huge stake in gaming.
I think what is going to keep it rolling is going to be things like the Quest. Something you can pay $400 or $500 for, PSVR 2, $400 or $500, that is just going to keep it going and going and going, enough that people are making games for it, enough that, you know, it exists in a space. And as long as those companies keep making money, it's probably fine. And then I think what's going to happen is a company like Apple or Microsoft, probably not Meta, honestly, or
they're still
weird,
trying to figure out legs.
Yeah. Somewhere weird like NVIDIA is going to come out and go like, hey, we cracked it. And here's a VR headset that you can wear. And the graphics are extremely realistic and you can walk around in it. I mean, you can move just like you move in a game. And I don't know how that works. But I think someone's going to figure that out. And that's going to be when it takes off. And I don't think it'll ever replace consoles. I don't think it'll ever replace, you know, just playing on a PC. But I think that it'll be a bigger player than it is now. The other slightly more horrible option is that someone like Microsoft figures out a way to make VR a cheap and necessary component for working remotely.
That was what Quest was trying to do.
Yeah. And I mean, I still see ads for it every once in a while. Like, how do you, you know, how do you get everyone in the same room to, you know, whatever. And like, there is like, I already hate having, I hate meetings, first of all, just meetings in general, but I hate having to like be on a camera. I hate having to, you know, have a microphone and headphones and all that stuff. It just, it makes it whatever. But like, if I had to put on a freaking headset every time I wanted to have a meeting with someone, like, that's when I moved to a small cabin in the woods and consider
mailing letter bombs.
Yeah. Just to think about it. You know, it that's just terrible. But I could see a world where, like, maybe you're not required to wear it all day, but if you're going to work at home, like, we need to make sure you're
we need to monitor your eyes.
Yeah, you know, like, they already have, you know, the mouse trackers and the, you know, we take a screenshot of your screen once every 30 seconds and, you know, we can monitor what you're doing all the time and we can see what you've installed, what your active programs are. Like, slapping a VR headset on someone and, you know, at least part of the day seems like the next, you know, the next thing. And all it takes is for someone to build one that is good enough for that purpose that they can get cheap enough. I mean, the thing is $150 a person for a corporation is nothing.
Nope.
So if they could get a slightly less good version of the Quest for $150 and force you to wear it for your meetings or for your stand-ups or for, you know, half your day or, you know, whatever, like, that is the bleak future where VR could really, you know, whatever. And I mean, the offshoot of that is all of a sudden people are going to start doing all sorts of, you know, VR research and development, you know, VR programming, VR everything. And so the increased attention on VR could impact gaming in a way, but impact life in a horrible, horrible way. So follow up question that has nothing to do with gaming. Would you rather be unable to eat chocolate for the rest of your life or be unable to eat cheese for the rest of your life, Cole? You have to choose cheese or chocolate. Which would you choose?
I probably would go with unable to eat chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I chocolate a lot, but like cheese is real good.
I think it goes
into food.
I think that's the thing is I love chocolate. I'm not even like one of those people that like, just like really love good chocolate. Like I love crappy chocolate. But like I eat cheese every day, probably, you know, like it's, especially as a vegetarian, like that's what you do as a vegetarian. You just replace meat with cheese. So that would be, every once in a while, I think like, what would it be like if I was lactose intolerant? I would just probably die. That's what I would think. So yeah, I think definitely I would choose knocking off chocolate. I think I would miss it though. Like chocolate sounds good a lot of the time. So well.
So that all being said, are we talking like chocolate candy or any chocolate?
Like, I think candy would be the thing I miss the most. I'm not, like, a big fan of, like, chocolate ice cream. I'm not a big fan of chocolate cake. So.
See, I really like chocolate ice cream, but, like, chocolate chips are really good.
Chocolate chips are good, but that's
cookies
just chocolate.
And stuff.
Yeah, I would miss chocolate chip cookies, but there are other kind of cookies, I guess. So, I mean, like butterscotch chip cookies are pretty good, you know, in a world that chocolate chips don't exist. All right, so let's talk Epic Games for next month, or this next week. The game coming out is called Dakar Desert Rally. I watched a little video of it. It actually looks pretty fun, kind of Forza-esque. So if you like racing in the desert, that might be one you might want to check out. It's all off-road racing. Looked like a good time. Game Pass. We have not had a new set of releases. They're coming out probably next week, but tomorrow, actually today, you'll be able to pick up Resident Evil 3, February 13th. For Valentine's Day, you can get the Bloodstained Ritual of the Night coming back to Game Pass. So if
Hell
you
yeah.
want something
what I'm
romantic.
Doing.
Yeah. February 15th, A Little to the Left, which is kind of a cool-looking cozy game. Played Up, February 15th, that is a multiplayer Overcooked-type game. And Return to Grace, coming out February 20th, which, as I recall, is a walking sim. Looked pretty good. Humble Bundle has a couple bundles. Some of them we've already talked about, so I won't go over those. Exceptional Indie Allies is available for 10 for 7, which is going for another couple days, I think. That one has Norco in it. Norco is one of the best games I've ever played, so go check that out. Controllered Chaos, that's $14 for 8 items. That one, again, has another couple days going on. Highlights of that are Maneater, probably in Sunset Overdrive, and maybe Ghostbusters if you're into that kind of thing. New packs that we have not talked about, $20 for 8 items gets you a bunch of Mega Man games, if that's your thing, including Mega Man Zero ZX Legacy, Mega Man 11, Mega Man X Legacy Collection 2, Mega Man X Legacy Collection, and Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, and Mega Man Legacy Collection. Maybe these need better names, Cole. Am I wrong in saying that these should be named better?
Anyway, They're fine.
And then Mindbending Masterpieces. This is $15 for 7 games. These games are there's some good stuff in here. Patrick's Parabox, which I have never heard of. A game called Taji that I've never heard of, but Superliminal, which is very good. Manifold Garden, which I've not played, but I've seen played a lot, and it looks really cool.
I played that one.
I think maybe. But maybe not. It's kind of like this Escher-inspired world with puzzles and stuff. Looked good.
Might have played that.
A game called The Pedestrian, a game called The Witness, which I've played a number of times, and I am ultimately not smart enough to play. And The Talus Principle, which I think you played that one as well.
I love The Talus Principle.
Yeah. So that's a really good pack for $15 if you've not played. I mean, Superliminal is probably worth it alone. That game's great. I had a
As
lot of
fun
playing.
As Talus Principle.
Yeah. Really enjoyed both of those. So check that out. Prime Gaming, Criminal Archives Alphabetic Murders Collector's Edition, which is a weird sounding game, comes out Thursday on the 15th. Tempest 4000 comes out on the 15th as well. Blade Assault comes out on the 22nd. And Gravatar Recharged comes out on the 29th. So some stuff you can get for free if you are a Amazon Prime subscriber. No word yet on whether those games will include commercials. Probably not. Cole, we're done.
Woo!
We did it. Do you have anything else you want to... Do you have throw out one more Microsoft factoid for me?
They are actually buying the $1.4 billion worth of Epic. They just gave Disney that money.
Interesting. I heard that Microsoft, not George Soros, was actually behind the Super Bowl this year.
Mm.
Yeah,
interesting.
They wanted the Chiefs to win, so
they could sell more units of Madden.
So they could sell more units. I guess. I don't know. Is that a thing?
I don't know why Microsoft cares if EA sells more.
I mean, it made sense in my head. I don't know.
They get some of that. So yeah,
Taylor Swift was supposed to come out at halftime and endorse Microsoft, but it fell through. So Anyway.
That is why I could never be, like, a huge famous star. I'm like, I just really like this video game, and it would sell millions of copies, and I would use that purpose. I would use that power for bad.
Every time Colby talks about what would happen if he, like, won, like, an obscene amount of money, you realize that Colby might actually just be a supervillain.
So so one of two things would happen. I'd either be a supervillain or you'd never hear from me again. Like, Colby lives in some cabin in Iceland now.
He's got really good internet, though. It's weird. Yeah. Like, Colby had a fiber line drilled through the permafrost to his house.
There's no permafrost now.
Yeah, no, that's not. I actually read a story today that, like, Greenland is, like, blooming, and that's bad. Very, very bad. Anyway, we're Bite Me Podcast. We are your podcast that you can listen to through this upcoming apocalypse. You're welcome. You can find out more about us at bitemepodcast.com. I'm not even going to talk about our social media. It's a joke. But I guess you could go follow us if you want. You can find
follow us on Threads. Way. We're on Threads.
I am not on Threads.
We're only on Threads.
Like, every once in a while.
Doing a lot of threading.
Threading. Every once in a while, I'm like, maybe I should make a TikTok. And then, like, I just go, nah.
We also do a lot of Reels. So you can find us on Facebook Reels.
Reels are I hate them.
What are Reels? Aren't they just, are they from Instagram?
No. Well, no, they're actually, you post those specifically to Facebook. Instagrams are called something else, I think, but I don't remember.
I thought that they just pulled them from Instagram.
No, because some of them are posted straight to Facebook. Instagrams are stories. I do this professionally. You'd think I'd know, but anyway, like,
find us on Threads is what we're saying.
I love TikTok. I think TikTok's great, and I hate Reels.
We're actually on Google Plus.
I did like Google Plus a lot, actually. Do you remember Google Wave? Anyway, that's not what this is about. Forget social media. You can go to pay us on Patreon. That'd be cool. Patreon.com/BiteMePodcast. You can join our Extra Life team.
You can pay me on Venmo if you just want to skip the middleman and just go straight to Colby.
And we take Cash App, too. you can join us on Discord at bitemepodcast.com/discord, and soon you'll be able to go to bitemepodcast.com/extralife and join our
extra life team. We're on OnlyFans. I mean, we don't get naked or anything. We just have an OnlyFans. I enjoy when they're really pushing, like, the, like,
watching, hey, cooking shows on OnlyFans.
Yeah, you want to watch cooking fans? I'm like, that is not what this is for, dude.
I like to think that was just, like, plausible deniability. Like, your wife finds, you're like, what is this $7 charge to OnlyFans? You're like, cooking show I really like. And then she's like, oh, I did see that commercial. That does actually make sense.
I think it was so that they could go, like, hey, credit card companies, like, we don't just sell porn. It's cooking shows. Like, give us your credit card taking capabilities.
Do you think we'd make more money if I did get naked or if I didn't get naked?
Maybe if you threatened.
Yeah, like, you have to pay me money or else.
I don't know who would pay money to have you threatened. Like, because if they just didn't pay money, they wouldn't have to see you.
What if I aggressively send those to people?
Unsolicited pictures. You're like, if you don't subscribe to my OnlyFans, I will put more clothes on. I'm confused at how this works.
My friend Heather and I had a very short run podcast. I think it only lasted an episode or two, called Unsolicited Dog Pics. And, like, because no one's upset if you send them a picture of your dog. I guess maybe cat people. Anyway, say goodbye.
I had a short-lived podcast called Unsolicited Hog Pics, and
that pictures of your hog or of a hog?
It was just hogs in general.
Huh. I still don't know what it's pictures of.
I know. You'd have to subscribe to
Mix them
Unsolicited
up.
Hogs Pics.
.com.
Bite me?
Bite me.